How are we going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
Welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and the tri-state area in general. I'm asking all of you to contact family members and friends and invite them to tune in on the radio on 860. However, we have a lot of listeners who listen from all over the USA, and to get more people involved, invite them to log on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Later today, we will have another rebroadcast go out to everyone that is on our e-list. If you would like to join our e-list, you just go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on Join Our E-List. Well, today we're going to have a very lively show. And we're going to try to do some positive things talking about what's been happening in the USA as a result of good management, new jobs coming into the situation of making possible more and more businesses operational here in the USA. And we're going to be talking about what more we can do as consumers to help those businesses expanding in the United States. Joining us, as always, is Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, national small business advocate, Rich Logis, principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, and joining us also is Curtis Ellis, the executive director of the American Jobs Alliance, and also very involved with the America First Project. Well, today I'd like to focus a little bit on America and Americans who are really our first obligation. Our campaign is a non-sectarian and non-partisan campaign, but we often have to get into politics to make a lot of points. I personally have the opportunity and the pleasure to work with representatives from both sides of the aisle, the Democrat and Republican Party, who see the importance of all parties working together for the benefit of the American people. Now, that should have been their main concern during the last 30 years, but of course, I try to avoid politicians that don't support our message, and I know who is sincere and who is filling a lot of bull when I meet them. So today I'm going to ask to focus on that positive message. Let's not waste time on things we can't change now or in the future, but work toward things we can change that will benefit all proud Americans. First, I'd like to turn to Curtis Ellis. Curtis, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm taking anti-nausea pills because I'm watching this Robert Mueller testimony in front of the House Judiciary Committee. It is quite the spectacle. I'm watching it so you don't have to. So I just want to...
Thank you, Curtis, because I would not have the time to watch it. And I feel this was already rehashed and rehashed again several months ago, and I don't understand why we're putting out more time and money on this type of a thing when we should be devoting more time and money to getting more Americans on the job.
Well, exactly right. There are three legislative days left, or to put it in plain English, in 3 days, there are only 3 days left before the House of Representatives leaves on its August recess. They have work to do. But instead, they are doing this. They are doing this circus, this show. What we have learned today, it is rehashed, as you said. This is a rehash of a rehash of a rehash. But one thing we have learned, because we have seen with Mr. Mueller appearing before this committee and answering questions, we see that he is a doddering old fool. This guy was not in charge of the investigation. He can't keep track of the report that he supposedly wrote. He admits that he only sat in on a few of the witness investigations that occurred during this two-year, multi-$40 million probe. And so he was not in charge. The inmates were running the asylum at the special counsel's office, and we know that they were huge anti-Trump partisans, worked for the Clinton Foundation, talked about smelling the Trump supporters at Walmart. It was a real clown show. And Robert Mueller was not in charge. He's not capable of keeping track of his own thoughts. And I'm not exaggerating. To watch this, it is really an embarrassment. This man has soiled himself in public by appearing before the committee. He should have kept his reputation intact, maintained his reputation, which was totally undeserved. We now see a reputation of a smart man of integrity. He is never should have accepted the job as special counsel because he was not capable. He doesn't have the mental faculty to run that type of shop. That's what we've learned today, and it is really unfortunate. It is a sad day for America. It's a good day for America that we see this, but this whole thing has been a very sad day for America. And despite the fact of being the subject of this unwarranted, completely bogus investigation run by partisans, President Trump has been able to accomplish so much. We have the economy back on track. We finally have a president who's standing up to the determined economic assault leveled against us by the People's Republic of China. He has recalibrated the world's stand against China and its predatory economic mercantilism. He has reduced regulation, the burdensome regulations that have held back American business. He has reduced the tax rates for all Americans, and he has, by so doing, spurred an economic renaissance in this country. And he has unmasked the highly destructive tendencies within the Democratic Party. It's unfortunate that I have to resort to partisanship here, but there are very anti-American elements afoot in the land today. And the president's standing up for America has really triggered them. The other thing he's accomplished, amazingly, is he has unmasked the pernicious ideology of globalism that has fed into anti-Americanism and has debilitated this country. By standing up and saying explicitly, "I am president of the United States, I am president of the world," we've seen the other side come back and say, "No, no, we should all act like we are citizens of the world." And for the president saying, "I am going to conduct the affairs of state with one interest in mind, is it good for America?" You have the other side saying, "No, no, no, the U.S. government should be run with the outlook of, well, what's good for the world? What's good for the world economy?" And what this has done is essentially shows that what this idea of being a global citizen and globalism and doing what's good for the world is a form of imperialism. It's a form of, well, since when did we become an empire that we're running the world and have to be concerned about what's good for the whole world? President Trump has reinvigorated the economy, reinvigorated the nation, reinvigorated the idea of patriotism, and he has reinvigorated the idea of America is a republic, not an empire.
Excellent. And well said, Curtis. My God, that was perfect. And you know, Curtis, as a result of paying attention, staying focused and consistent, I'm watching more businesses choosing to operate right here in the USA. Why is that? Why did that happen 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago?
That's because he has cut taxes, cut regulation, unleashed American energy. Energy costs are lower here than anywhere else on Earth. And with now that recalibrating of the tax code, so we're lowering taxes and recalibrating regulations so businesses aren't afraid that they're going to be hit with a whole new mandate out of the blue and have to hold on to cash. And through the use of tariffs against these countries that are deliberately dumping products where into our market, how can, you know, I was having this discussion last night. If you're an investor, why would you invest in an American business coming out with a product if your competitor is a government-subsidized enterprise from China? You wouldn't. You would say, we can't compete against that. I'm not going to invest my money in that. I'll invest in some new app for food delivery. I'll invest in some stupid hair and nail salon where I don't face competition from the Chinese government. So the president's very clear and strong trade reform is a huge part of why businesses are coming back to America.
And you know, Curtis, one thing I'd like to add, that in the last 2 years, more than 1 million new business applications have been filed to open up in the United States. That's another historic thing, which nobody in the media is talking about. People are seeing it firsthand because they see businesses opening in their communities, expanding. A lot of new labels with USA are now being circulated in stores as people speak up. And by the way, one more big thing is there is a huge and growing population in America, and we have a historic high job market, even with all the new immigrants and special visas that have been issued over the years. We're still seeing 6 million jobs unfilled in the USA right now because we don't have enough qualified people. That's a very unfortunate thing, but we're watching it. I'm watching it. If anyone goes to Google and checks out exactly how many jobs are open in the United States right now, they'll find over 6 million. It's getting closer to 7 million. That is because businesses are choosing to stay here in the USA, not move abroad where they'll have it cheaper, and then because of the tariffs also help them understand, well, I may get it cheaper overseas, but when I bring it back, it'll be tariffed, so we might as well stay in the USA.
Exactly right.
Now, Michael,
I'm going to turn this over to everyone else. I'm going to have to just listen in for the rest of this show, which is so great. And I'm sorry.
Thank you, Curtis.
I got to listen to this other thing. As always, you are the best.
Thank you.
Have a good one, and keep up your great work with the America First Project. Thank you much, Guy.
Thank you.
I think now we're going to turn to Rich Logis. Rich, what are you seeing happening in the USA?
Hey, Michael. Good morning, guys. Good morning to our listeners. Hope everybody's doing great. Curtis, thanks for watching Mueller. I was driving my kid to school today. I turned it on for a minute. I couldn't take more of it. It's truly the Truman Show. It is our political version of the Truman Show. The only difference is that the Truman Burbank character, he didn't know his world and life was scripted until the end of the film. The difference, Michael, is in our politics, the Truman Burbanks are all in on the fantasy. They're all in on it. It's just it's a world of make believe. It's a fantastical world. And I think I And I'm sort of over this narrative, Curtis, pending something substantive that changes, indictments, new evidence, et cetera, which none of that's going to happen. I sum it up, Michael. This is my final parting thought on the entire Russia scam. Lavrenty Beria, the head of Stalin's police state in the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, once made a very famous remark. It's been misquoted over the years. His exact quote was, "Show me a man, and I'll show you his crime."
That's right.
That's what this is. That's what this is.
You know,
show me a man, and I'll show you his crime. So that's my parting thought on Russia, Michael. Economically, what Curtis said. See, Curtis hit on a couple of big points here. When I first came on this show, Michael, it was 2012. It was 2012. That's right. See, now time flies when you're having fun and fighting the revolution. So 7 years ago, I was on this show. And at that time, Mark, at that time, there was a bipartisan agreement, for the most part, on Made in America. To the credit at the time of the Democrats under President Obama, most of the Democrats in Congress, Michael, were against the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was NAFTA on human growth hormone steroids. Most of the Democrats were against it. How much do you hear about Made in America right now? Do you know what the economic narrative coming out of the Democratic Party is going to be? We actually just got a glimpse into it this week, Mark, when we had Fugazi Yohannes, chief crack-a-beer, Elizabeth Warren, say that there's a pending economic meltdown coming. Do you guys see that?
I saw it. I heard about it this morning, and I thought
what's
to myself.
But what's the basis of it, though? What's the basis of it?
And I said to myself, why is this person talking about a meltdown? She should be talking about a buildup. How do we get more Americans employed?
Curtis hit on it. She lost everyone's attention by saying that.
It's foolishness.
I mean, you got to – the problem – I think Elizabeth Warren is – I don't know. She's like 68. You know, and I'm not an ageist, okay? But when you're 68 and you see the world as when you were 4 years old, there's a problem, right? Like when you're four, you should see the world as a four-year-old. When you're 40 and above – you shouldn't see it as age four. So the reason that nothing is talked about, Michael, economically, and look, we got work to do. There's a lot still that we got to do. Mark is leading it. We got guys like Mike Sessions who are listened to the show for many, many years, the Made in America pioneers. There's still work to do about it. But if American manufacturing up, deregulation down, capital investments up, taxes down, more money in your paycheck up, right? More economic sovereignty, more what Curtis is talking about is economic nationalism. We can have a debate on should we do tariffs and this. That's fine. We can have policy discussions about that. But nobody can objectively look at what's happening now and say, you know what, we got work to do, but we're moving in the right direction. So why is it that that's not talked about at the so-called debates, and instead they talk about men having abortions? Because if they talk about that narrative, the entire house of cards falls for the DNC, Michael.
Yes.
Show me the money. Show it to me. Well, it's coming
in. Show me the money. What I wanted to say today is, as I hear about this Mueller testimony and all, look at all that money being spent on rehashing the same old rigmarole. Has there ever been a hearing like this to talk to businesses, to talk to corporate leaders? How are we going to get more jobs? Stimulus package enough? Were the tax cuts enough? Why in the world are we worrying about something where the report has been documented months ago and we're
before
still dancing
over,
around on it?
Before I turn it over, and let me just preface with, trust me, the Republicans have sucked a lot at this too, what I'm about to say. But the Democrats have three goals. They've always had three goals. They always will. Take your children, take your money, take your freedoms. Everything they do comes back to one of those three, or all the above, or some combination thereof. Take your kids, take your money, take your freedoms. And with that, I yield my time.
Doctor, thank you so much, Rich. It's good to hear from you, and I'm glad to hear that more and more people are feeling better about America's economy, and our Buy American movement has really helped that. People are feeling better they're not, you know, worrying. I mean, even the resorts, the vacation resorts and all, they're saying that people are in a better mood, like they haven't seen them lately. They're able to spend a little more. They're going out to the various events. People feel better that America's on the right track. We can discuss all that we want to do on this radio, but we have to get the national news media to stop living in the negative past and start building up the American way, building up America's businesses, building up America's chain stores, and building up the label where America's proudly displayed. We've been talking about the 50-50 balance for so many years. When I say 50-50, I don't mean just 50% of the stuff is made in America and assembled in America. I'm talking about an entire product made in America. We haven't seen that in 10, 15, 20 years. Yes, Larkin.
What a perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about. And I appreciate that. I am really starting to get concerned about the fundamental issues in this country. I don't know in my past, however many years it's been too many to count, I have ever seen the press or the politicians attack their own country. And I've thought about it. I thought about this New York Times video that was released. Mm-hmm. America isn't great. It's just okay. This is the largest circulating newspaper in this country telling the public that America isn't great. It's just okay. And then I listened to the Nike pitch man, you know, the former San Francisco quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, recently objected to the company's release of a special 4th of July sneaker with the 13 stars that best on the original Betsy Ross flag. Terrified Nike, you know, Nike, just, this is our past. We've got to curse our past because we're not really great. We're just okay.
Well, you know, we're not a great country anymore. How do you stop this from happening is the problem we've been suffering through for years. And I'll
not
tell
years.
You, first of all, there's too many stations out there on the cable that are doing nothing but bashing America. I really feel the New York Times and all these people should go on a trip around the world to all the countries possible, and then come back and tell us who is better than the United States. It seems that these people do not travel around the world. They have not seen what goes on in the world. They have not seen the greatness of America. And they just want to bash America because someone's paying them to do it. No one's paying me to do anything bad. They're encouraging me to do good things.
If you watch this garbage video from the New York Times, it as evidence they present that we're just okay. The video cites statistics showing that other developed countries such as Luxembourg and Sweden and Norway have lower poverty rates and better education and health care outcomes, all much better than America. And as for our kick-ass democracy that we are so proud of, the Times says, it's not such a big deal. Our democracy is not such a big deal because a lot of countries have freedom.
But, you know, Larkin, when you look at the land...
Let me ask you
something. Yes.
Where did those freedoms come from? But, you know, put aside for a moment that misleading data that the video uses to show that America's not so great. The fact is that all freedom and progress in those countries and the ones that they enjoy today would not be possible without the United States of America. That's what makes us great. Today, for all the flaws that we have, we remain the freest country. We remain the most innovative, the most prosperous country in the history of the world. And we have an unparalleled military power and unlimited opportunity in this country. And millions of people want to come here and share this abundance. We wouldn't have a problem on our southern border if people didn't want to come here to share in American prosperity. And the New York Times just once again showed their, you know, their, I don't even know what to call the New York Times anymore. I've banned it from even lining the bottom of my birdcage. But
just call it what I call it, Larkin, the Democrat Media Industrial Complex.
It boggles my mind.
But you know, Larkin, the thing that is,
take a cheap shot like that.
The thing that's really strange about all this is that they're complaining about America, but they're never pointing to the countries that are better than America. We can all complain about what's going on in our own house because we don't know what's happening in the house next door. Maybe our house is better, run better, looks better, it's cleaner, whatever. Our country for too long has allowed the people to knock each other down instead of build each other up. The national news media helped to do that. We've seen progress, and President Trump, God bless him for his efforts, this was an opportunity that every president before him could have had to look at all the trade deals, to look at the tax situations, to look at the regulations. The question is, how did we get all those regulations? Who introduced them in Congress? Who pushed them to be, you know, on these businesses to scare the hell out of them and run them out of the country? He came in and they looked at it, not him individually, but an entire committee of people looked at the regulations and said, well, maybe 25 years ago that was necessary, but it's not needed now, so break it so that the business didn't have this thing off their back. And this is not being discussed in this country. I get a lot of people who come into the center, who come to various events, and they say, I don't watch those shows anymore. And guess what? I feel a lot better about myself, and everything is running much better in my life. But if those shows were giving positive ideas, help American workers, promote that label, clean up your neighborhoods, help your family and friends so that they don't have needs that are not addressed. They're not doing any of that. It's just this one's no good in the dossier. You know, I heard just the other day someone regurgitating the idea of the dossier all over again. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, before this Mueller testimony, which was canceled a week for some reason, we have to listen to this all again. You can read the report. Look at the report, and you'll see it's all a fake. But how do you stop the national news media from doing it? There's only one way. Start contacting their sponsors, their advertisers, the people who are giving them money without realizing that their money is also influencing the people to have negative thoughts. Yes, Mark Andel, how are you?
Good. How are you guys? Mike, Larkin, Rich. Hello, and Henry's on vacation. I had an interesting email come to me. I was out of town, and a lady said, how do you like the book I dropped off called Trump 45? And I'm like, geez, where'd you drop it off? Well, it ends up dropped off at General Welding. She calls TrumpNewer.net. But the Trump 45 book I've got in my hand now, you're each going to get a copy. As soon as we certify it, triple certify it, it will be sold in our stores. But it basically is a factual, positive book on Donald Trump and what he's accomplished in these few years. And, you know, from the United States oil outputs hitting all-time records, already we're leading the country. We don't have to listen to OPEC no more, and the supply demand isn't controlled by the turn of, OPEC, how they wake up each day, how we withdrew from the TPP, signed the Right to Try bill. This book goes through everything, even the first ladies in there, probably 50% too, spending time with children in Africa, you know, fighting the Dodd-Frank Act, protecting and fighting for those who have fought for us. He's given a lot of money to our, you know, to our military. The VA hotline was, you know, implemented. A lot of things in this book, appreciation of all that served, and just it goes page after page, very simple, but basically true American hero. And at the end, you know, she had wrote a nice message. I'm going to meet her soon, Mike, and this just came in my hands. You know, wage increases by 600,000 Americans. You know, these are all facts. And even as visits to Arlington Cemetery and just so much with the vets and whatnot. But basically, you know, it's not a right or a left thing. This president's accomplished so much. So I'm making the decision to sell it in the store as soon as it's certified. But it's just a great book on basically what you're talking about that should be shown on the news every night.
You know,
Trump 45.
Right. Mark, can you imagine? And Mark and Larkin and Curtis and Rich, can you imagine how we would be conducting this program today if presidents were doing this from Reagan up? We had Clinton, Bush. We had also another Bush came in. We had all these people, President Obama. Can you imagine how positive this country would be if the past presidents had followed the format of what's going on right now? We would have never had a lot of these trade agreements.
I heard young kids talking in the locker room from 14 to 18, and I was afraid, you know, we don't ever go political. And but these kids were talking about how disconnected the party is, their party is. And now it's just at a point, it's just terrible. Here's a question, though. Made in America, that's what we're all about. Me and Rich had a great discussion. The Made in America event's really getting traction. Rich, you know, we sent some great emails out to tie us all together in this October. You know, the first week of October, it's going to be at the Indiana Convention Center. It's big. Don Buckner and me have been talking. He was just at the White House. He's excited. He believes in God, Mike. He's been, you know, getting a lot. You know, I try to fire him up every once in a while with the Made in America movement and what it accomplished. But talking to him and talking about things, and he's got different releases he wants us to do, you know, from texting and things. But Made in America answers a lot of troubles, and a lot of people don't grab what we're all about. For 9 years, I just did 4 or 5 buses in a row. I get them fired up, tell my story. It changes them. Me and John are on a bus like, wow. And what's Made in America do? Well, it increases the middle class. It gives people an opportunity to provide for themselves. It's everything America is about is what Made in America is about. We're 50-50, Mike, from the beginning. We talked about 50-50 fair trade. But what can Made in America, what can things being made in your own country do, supporting the country you live in, what does it mean? I think it answers every problem we have if we get back to building things in our own country and being strong, having jobs and livelihoods that people can depend on. Instead of a handout, you earn it. That's a great question. I think every one of you should answer. What do you think Made in America means? And what could it do to this country? I think it could do everything and save the country.
It can do everything. And, you know, working in human services, I see a lot of people that were unfortunately pushed aside for a number of years because of lack of employment. They were on unemployment, on welfare for a while.
Not by choice, and they'd love to work, right, Mike?
Now those people are enrolling in various trade programs. It's like reinventing the wheel. A lot of this stuff is now being discussed in school boards, which we've been begging for a long time.
But instead of this investigation today, Mike, you could have positive stuff, Trump 45 book. You could have this about what you could do, how you could increase trades, what they could do for you, what could Made in America do for you, what we're talking about. It's so out of balance, right?
You know, I would be honored to be able to say what each president before Trump has done to make our economy move forward, make it bigger, attract more businesses. But it didn't happen, and we have to accept that it didn't happen.
And he saved the country,
instead of picking
Mike
on the person who made a lot of these positive changes happen, let's promote him so that the people that follow him will have an example of
right,
what
who
will
can
make
carry
our
the same torch, Mike.
Right, right. Carry
it should
the
be
same
one
torch.
Country, one team.
We are one country. We all bleed the same. We salute one flag. This rigmarole that I hear on the news media, it doesn't make any sense. It's a bad example, quite frankly, to the young people, because the young people are discouraged. Many of the people went to colleges and to high school, specialized high schools, but they didn't get the hands-on type training that they needed, which are pleading for 6 million jobs right now as we speak, open.
Nope.
And
Michael,
needed trade-related services. What are we going to do? The old days of replacing the motherboard on your computer that was made in China has to end. What happened to all of our companies that were in California? Why did they move to other countries and make those motherboards and ship them over here on transports and then just, oh, well, don't worry about it. I'll give you a new motherboard and that's the end of that. No, we have to get back to basics. We have to get to common sense issues. Like your shirt says, Mark, it's common sense. Buy American.
It is all common sense. And I do blame the media. If you don't know, the media is crooked now.
Well, the media is angry. I'll tell you why the media is angry, Mark. The media is angry because people that are going to a job are seeing the benefits of a job. They're seeing, oh, my God, I can actually fend for myself. I can walk in a door of my house and say, Mike, I'm helping to pay the bills without Uncle Sam looking at me and so forth and so on. This hasn't been the thinking in this country for many years.
Yeah, we're not buying what they're selling.
Yeah, throw money at issues and hope they'll change. That's not the way it works. You have to make change so that money can be generated and people can be independent. Yes, Rich.
It's the first time. I have two remarks on something Mark and Larkin said. And look, Mark, it's hard to sell positivity, right? Moving in the right direction, more work needed, sure. But it's hard to sell positive when the goals are to take your kids, take your money, take your freedoms, right? Like, how do you sell that nicely, Larkin? Hey, I'm here to take your money, Larkin. You know, these aren't the Glengarry weeds, in case anyone's wondering. They're not. And Larkin, I actually did a segment on my show about that very New York Times video that you referenced. And what I said, Michael, is that I don't think criticizing our flaws, preferably constructively, I don't think criticizing our flaws is necessarily unpatriotic. So if I put my fake psychoanalyst hat on here, sometimes a cigar just is a cigar, but there's something odd, Larkin, about how the criticism is levied. It almost seems to me, and I could be mistaken about this, it almost seems to me that those criticizing, for example, in the New York Times, it seems to me that they're cheerleading a decline, that they want that.
That's my feeling. Rick,
yep.
You've hit the nail
yeah.
on that. America doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be good. And it has to be fair. As the world's wealthiest democracy, it certainly has given people from all over the world greater security, greater affluence. It's the largest economy, as I said, and with the largest military that promotes democracy. We don't have to be perfect. And that's exactly, you hit the nail right on the head. It's almost antagonistic the way the Times approached it. Like nanny nanny doo doo, we're not great anymore, and you shouldn't be celebrating our greatness. We are great, and we're still great, and we have flaws. Nobody, nothing, anywhere is perfect. So, and yes, it's all about the way things are said. I can tell you that you're the dumbest person I've ever met in my life, and you would think it's a compliment if it's done properly.
That's
you know, right? I had a teacher once that could tell me I was so stupid it almost was painful, but I never felt offended because he always had a very pragmatic approach to the issues. And I'm sorry, there's a right way to make comments and criticisms, and there's a wrong way. And what the New York Times is doing is an assault on our character. And we have great character. We're a great nation. And I don't see anybody trying to break out of the country. I don't see people diving off the bridges trying to swim the ocean to get to another place.
I've never heard that, Michael.
These nations, okay, these nations. And look, I'm not saying that you can't necessarily look at a country, what they do learn. I'm not saying that you can't do that. You know, fine. But these nations that are always cited have existed for far longer than we, and yet their basis of constitutional government and freedom is based on our Constitution.
That's right.
It's based on the model of the United States. The founders never envisioned. See, it was always about the pursuit, Michael, of the perfect union, right? It was always about that all men are created equal doesn't mean equal outcomes. Man's desire is to be free, especially economically. The framers understood this. So this seemingly, and again, I might be wrong on this, but there's a seeming cheerleading of this. It's like a zealous fetish. It's unapologetic, this yearning for a decline, and it's the people who most suffer, Michael, the people who most suffer behind this, not coincidentally, Larkin, are the very people who were the reason for the 2016 win. The 2016 win was not because of drinking mint juleps at the New York Times cocktail parties, Michael. Guys know that, right? Like,
that's right.
Who was it? It's working families. It's middle class people. It's small business owners,
exactly.
Right? It's people who can, you know, they may not be overly partisan. They just want to be left alone. They want as much money in their paychecks, and they want to. That's the kind of a country they envision. Who are the people who mostly supported the president? Exactly. You know, and I'm not saying that those others are not to be. The people who didn't vote for the president, Michael, we still have, there's still two obligations that we have to those individuals. Okay, you say, I hate Trump, I hate the president, I hate Republicans. That's fine, we have two obligations. Number one, first role of government in any level is to keep you safe and secure. That's why we're going to build a wall, and the wall is coming, just so everyone out there knows, it is on its way. So we're going to build a wall. The second is to uphold all of your guaranteed constitutional rights. That's why we're putting federal judges and Supreme Court justices who interpret law based on the text and intent of the law, not what they want it to mean. Mm-hmm. So we're good. We're covering it well. Well, I think taxes should be higher. Well, you had your shot, and the person who was going to do that lost. So I know that I know we're harming you, Ark, in putting more money in your paycheck, but you need to find another issue to attack us on.
Right.
What is the single? I want to hear, Michael, from the opposition. I want to hear, and Mark, I've asked this question time and time again. Forget the politics. Forget whether you like the president or not. If this guy is allegedly so bad, why wasn't it easy to win in 2016? Why won't it be even easier in 2020? I want to hear a singular issue that has harmed the life of one of the opposition members. Give me a singular issue. Well, Rich, we put border. We got a lot of border patrol. Okay, Rich, there's more money in your paycheck. All right. Well, Rich, we're requiring our allies to have to pay for our military and our innovations. Okay. What else? Well, we have judges who are going to uphold your guaranteed rights, even if they don't agree with the outcome. Okay. So where are the problems in that, Larkin? Can someone show it to me?
And we're also putting tariffs on some products. So
look, some people disagree with tariffs,
American
Michael.
Workers
some people
have those jobs. Okay. I don't see anything to disagree with. I see the point. But my point is also, it's not just a Republican or a Democrat. We've had those in the White House for over 30 years. Why haven't they done what President Trump is doing now? Could you imagine where America would be now if we paid attention to our back door and our front door? You know, part of our problem here in the USA is the fact that we sent so much money around the world trying to rebuild emerging democracies, poor countries. We did help them, starting with after World War II, we started to rebuild. And once we started to rebuild, then they said, well, okay, let's end famine, let's do care, let's do everything. Well, we uplifted those countries so much that they've come to take our jobs. And we didn't fight back. This is the biggest problem of leadership. It's not the man in the White House at any point that's supposed to be leading that. It's the 535 people on Capitol Hill that should have this, and mainly this, the well-being of their constituents at all time on their desk of things to do. They haven't done that. They looked out for other countries. Let's keep them moving up, while we stayed stagnant and went down. Right now, we have the biggest population ever in this country. We have more people employed at full and part-time jobs. Even though we have a big immigrant population, many illegals are employed where, you know, they are making money and doing whatever they do, but there are people working. We still have millions of Americans who are now getting back up from being in a poverty situation and getting into the workforce. Why wasn't poverty addressed 30 years ago, 25 years ago, 20 years ago? Why wasn't it addressed is my question to people that bark at me to say, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that. I say, well, why was poverty not addressed by your representative? Why didn't you contact your senator, your congressman, to say we have too much poverty in our community? We don't have schools teaching boys and girls a way for them to earn a living after they graduate. They look at me, well, that's not my job. Well, whose job is it? You're sending someone to Washington. You're sending someone to the state houses and to the city councils. Why aren't you contacting them? Why are you continuing to promote this negative message? That's the bottom line. It's promoting the negative message. Where are people getting that negative message, and why are they continuing to spew it out? That's the question. Why is that, Mark?
I don't know. You know, negativity, you got to stay positive. You got to get above it. And that is the problem, Mike. They've got to get positive. People got to get up and get active. And they did. They got Donald Trump in. Rich, we talked way back when. It was the last chance for America, really. I believe that. It depends what America you want, of course. But we want one where people are earning a living and really vibrant and grow this country. But, Mike, you're right. Negativity, people, they'd sit back and rather talk about it but not get educated, not get involved.
Mark, working in human services, I can honestly tell you, I have not had anyone walk in the door and tell me, help me to become poorer than I am right now. Yeah. I've never had anybody come in there and do that.
And nobody really worked for a poor person, right?
Nobody wants to be poor. Nobody wants to be dependent.
They want to do better.
Everybody wants to have a future. But when you don't have the people in leadership, all of us, the 330 million Americans, we all can't be in Washington in leadership. We
Michael,
elect
all good
people to go there and do it.
There was agreement at one time, not that long ago. There was bipartisan agreement, for the most part, about Made in America.
Yeah.
Yes,
that it was good for the country, right? And in simple terms, what's that about? It's about getting as many products as possible, as humanly possible, made in the U.S., whether it's 50% or 60% or 80%, whatever it is, right? Or in Mark's case, 100%. Mark, I tell that to people, and they don't believe me. They say, even the glue? I said, yeah, the glue. Don't sniff it, though. It's American-made. It'll get you higher than that crap made in China.
It's the work that went into it. Right, right. And you're right, though. It's a 40-year mistake we made, at least. This isn't a
How did this go
thing.
Away? Larkin, yeah. Where did it go away? Like, where did bipartisan agreement? And I'm not saying all Dems think this. And unfortunately, not a lot of Republicans are gung-ho about Made in America either, Michael, because President Obama's Trans-Pacific Partnership, which our president withdrew from, had way more Republican support, right? When it comes to economics, there's too much of this globalism that Curtis talks about on the GOP side.
They were selfish and worried about lining their own pockets, Richard.
That's right.
Trump drained the swamp. He goes against the grain.
Well, if any of you were doing something and someone showed you a better idea of something you've been doing for 20, 30 years, and that your idea is working, that person all of a sudden does not like you because you are used to doing what you did in the last 20 or 30 years. This is the problem taking place in America right now. The media talked about all the negativity for years. They never told us how to change it, how to make it better, how we could get people out of poverty. I don't know of any report. If I looked up on Google right now, I can't find a report from any elected official, any community leader, or any corporate leader that says this is how we're going to get people out of poverty. There's no such report. But if they ask for a report complaining why we had problems in America, you can't find enough room on your desktop to fill, you know, with the reports. There's so many reports on why America went down, and that's what Larkin is saying about the New York Times and all. People want to report negative things. Why is that? They don't report that we have more businesses opening in America than we had in many, many years. They're not talking about the fact that more people of color, white, black, Indians, everybody is now employed. We don't talk about that. We're not talking about the fact that people who were in poverty are lifting themselves out of poverty by getting into training programs and then having something to offer a business person. They're not talking about that. They're not interested in it. They're still talking about dossiers and all that rigmarole.
And if you replace the word poverty with the word hunger, if you replace the word poverty with the word undereducated, you come up with the same question and a need for the same kind of answer. Why do 20% of the children in our country go to bed hungry every night? Why is it that kids graduate from high school and they can't read?
They can't write. Measure. They don't know
they
how to measure with a yardstick.
They have no skills. Who cares about what is being regurgitated in Washington D.C. right now? It just amazes me that this country can be so obtuse. So, are we still great? Yeah. But my wife calls it the dumbing of America. We're just being led down the wrong path, and as a result, we become a little bit dumber every day. And
many people have said that, Larkin. I can't disagree. We've allowed the dumbing down of America, the America to become divided by the negativity. You know, 20 years ago, people were involved in town watch programs, community organizations, things where people got together to promote their community. Today, those groups are hard to find. How is it that we have not been discussing more reasons to get trades into the schools, more reasons to get people out of poverty, off the streets, and into jobs? Why is that? Why is Robert Mueller's report of any value to any of us when it was placed in writing months ago? What's the purpose of having this soul get up there and be questioned for 4 or 5 hours? Makes no sense whatsoever. And do you realize the security, the electricity, the air conditioning and all in that chamber? What a waste of money. Why aren't they saying things like, ladies and gentlemen, with modern technology and all the new products being invented for in this country and around the world, there is no reason for us to have more employment opportunities opening every day and more people employed. Why aren't they talking about that? They're talking about bringing more and more stuff from all around the world to fill our stores. But they're not talking about, let's fill half of our stores with products that have a Made in America label. I don't understand it. To me, it is foreign, totally ridiculous. And that's the thing that they have to somehow get the message, and that's going to have to come from the constituents. The people are going to have to start calling and say, I'm not interested in that. I want to know where our future jobs are coming. I want to see modern technology has taken over a lot of the jobs, but we have more and more products being invented every day. Why are those products not made in America? They're invented in America and then shipped around the world to be made. This has got to come to an end. Sure, we're in a globalized economy, but we have to take care of America first. Larkin, a few weeks ago, it was suggested that you run for president. I think you should still consider that exploratory committee. And, you know, they're all making money with these exploratory committees. You know, Mark, why don't you run for president? Rich, why don't you run for president? Let's get everybody running for president. I'd like to see more and more exploratory committees. Get those campaigns. Get the 50s and the 100s. You know, let's get people riled up. But Larkin, you'd be perfect for president.
Yeah, well,
Rich, you could be vice president, and we make Mark the Speaker of the House. They don't want me. I'm too wild. So. Oh, my God, what a show. Today was a great show, guys. I really enjoyed it. We really had a good time. This was something I would say will go down in the history books. And we talked about positive things. What can we do to help America? You know, the radio broadcast here at 860, American Workers Radio, we're encouraging industries, businesses, academia, government, and all the listeners in the USA and all the people in the USA to do something positive so that we get our jobs back. We want our jobs back. We want our industries to expand. We want more industries to grow. We have the possibilities right now. Let's make them happen by buying American made. With that, I'm going to say a special thank you to Larkin Conley, Rich Loges, Mark Andel, and also to Curtis Ellis and our engineer who keeps us up and at it all the time. We will have a rebroadcast of today's show up this afternoon. Kindly email it out to family members and friends. And in behalf of all of us, all of our listeners, I want to say best to you and yours. And as you know, in just another week, we will be coming up again with our edition of National Small Business Weekend, another opportunity for all of us to go out and support the stores. And when you go to those stores, let them know that you're a supporter of the Made in America movement. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Have a great one.
Have a great week, guys.
The preceding program, the Polish American Radio Show, was brought to you by Polish American Radio.